March 11, 1934. How one who does not live in the divine will casts it into loneliness and reduces it to silence. Who the temple of God is. The divine will, temple of the soul. The little host. Sign in order to know whether one lives in the divine will. I seem to hear the continuous echo of the divine fire that booms in my soul, and with its invincible power calls my little acts into its own acts, to make them one. And it seems to delight with its creature, it does not feel lonely, it has someone to whom to tell its joys and its sorrows. In sum, it feels neither in loneliness nor reduced to silence. On the other hand, with one who does not live in the divine will it feels the weight of loneliness, and if it wants to speak and entrust its secrets, it is not understood, because the light of its will is missing, which allows the creature to understand its celestial language. And, oh, how sorrowful it remains, that while it is all voice and all word, it has no one to whom to speak even just one of them. Oh, adorable will, make me live always within you, that I may break your loneliness and give you the field to let you speak. But while my mind was wandering through the vast horizons of the divine fiat, my sweet Jesus, repeating his little visit, all goodness told me, my little daughter of my will, it is really true that one who does not live in our will, casts it into loneliness and reduces it to silence. You must know that each creature is a new and distinct work that we have to do, and therefore new things to say. If she does not live in our will, we feel that that creature is far away from us because her will is not inside our own. Therefore, on her part, we feel lonely, hindered in our work. And if we wanted to speak, it is as if we wanted to speak to the deaf, to the mute. Therefore, one who does not live in our will is our cross, she hinders our step, she binds our arms, she knocks down our most beautiful works. And I, who am the Word, I am reduced to silence. Now, you must know that the soul in grace is the temple of God. But when a soul lives in our will, God makes himself temple of the soul, and, oh, the great difference between the creature, temple of God, and God, temple of the soul. The first is a temple exposed to dangers, to enemies, subject to passions. Many times our Supreme Being finds himself in these temples as in the temples of stone, unattended, not loved as he should. And the little lamp of her continuous love, which she should keep in homage to her Godhood dwells within her, without the pure oil is extinguished. And if, heavens forbid, she falls into grave sin, our temple collapses and is occupied by thieves, our enemies and hers, who profane it and make havoc of it. The second temple, that is, God, temple of the soul, is not exposed to dangers, the enemies cannot get close, passions lose life. In this divine temple of ours, the soul is like the little host that holds her Jesus consecrated within it, and with the perennial love that she draws, receives and feeds on, she forms the little lamp, alive, always burning, without ever becoming extinguished. This, our temple, occupies its royal place, its fulfilled will, and it is our glory and our triumph. And the little host, what does she do inside this temple of ours? She prays, she loves, she lives of divine will, she substitutes for my humanity on earth, she takes my place of pains, she calls the whole army of our works to form our cortege. Creation, redemption, she holds them as her own and she commands over them, and now she places them around us like an army in act of prayer, of adoration, now like an army in act of loving us and glorifying us. But she is always at the head of them, doing whatever she wants our works to do. And she always concludes with her refrain, so very pleasing to us, your will be known and loved, and may it reign and dominate in the entire world. So, all the yearnings, the longings, the interests, the cares, the prayers, of this little host that lives in our divine temple, are for our fiat to embrace all, put all the evils of creatures aside, and with its omnipotent breath form its place in the hearts of all, so as to make itself life of each creature. Can anyone ever perform an office more beautiful, more holy, more important, more useful to heaven and to the earth, than this little host who lives in our temple? Moreover, our love, our power, makes all the shows, all the industries, all the stratagems with one who lives in our will. It makes itself small and encloses itself in this soul in order to form its life, and nothing is left of her but the guises to cover it. It makes itself immense, as it is, and shapes itself as sumptuous temple, to keep her safe inside of it, and enjoy her company. One who does our will is always occupied with us, and we are always occupied with her. Therefore, be very careful to let yourself always be found in our will. After this, I continued to think about the divine volition, and my beloved Jesus added, "The sign that the soul lives in my will is that all things, internal and external, are bearers of my will. In fact, to say I possess its life and not to feel it is impossible. Therefore she will feel it in the heartbeat, in the breath, in the blood that circulates in her veins, in the thought that forms in her mind, in the voice that gives life to her word, and so forth." So, the internal act, echoing on the outside, makes my will to be found in the air that she breathes, in the water she drinks, in the food that she takes, in the sun that gives her light and heat. In sum, the internal and the external hold hands and form many acts, to form the life of my will in them. One act alone does not form life, but continuous and repeated acts form the life. Moreover, in my will everything is present, as though an act of doing everything that has been done by us, and, in it, the creature enters the power of our present acts and does what we do. She remains invested by our creative force, by our love that always arises. She comprehends that it is precisely for her that it does everything, and, oh, how she loves, and how she wants to do everything for her Creator. On the other hand, outside of our fiat, what we have done is seen as past things, done for everybody, not for herself alone. Therefore love does not awaken, it sleeps, it remains as though in lethargy, and thought of as a love far away, not in it. Therefore, there is such a difference between one who lives in my will and one who lives outside of it that there is no comparison that holds up. Therefore, be attentive, and thank me for the great good I have done to you in letting you know what it means to live in my will. Fiat.